microphones with glasses. This is the title. Soaring, circling, then stretching back his wings, his tendons stretched to land, the eagle takes his poise upon the precipice. The skies around him circle in a compass, endless blue asymmetry of circle sky. Below, on the valley floor, a desert weasel sees the distant silhouette against the sky, his little heart still beating fast, a close escape, he thinks, a close escape. Disgruntled now, a puzzled brow, the eagle shifts and thinks, he got away, it was fast, he got away. The weasel's thinking, bollocks. The eagle's thinking,
well done. That was a 5-word challenge. I'm afraid you can't win this week. We'll come back next week and try and be a bit faster. Alright, next up on the open mic is Jude. Hey, Jude.
Oh, it's so I heard a clap in the manner.
Sorry.
That's what's happening. Okay, so this was the first poem I wrote for Ovale a couple of months back, but I feel that now, because I'm a recognised face between some of you here, that you might actually come up and tell me what you think of it and ways in which it could be better or things like that. But anyway, yeah. So, it doesn't really have a name either, so I'm just gonna go for it. His right hand is under my head. His left hand embraces me. I let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. In bed last night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not. I rose and went about the city, through the streets. Have you seen whom my soul loves? For my love is, to me, the perfume that lies across my chest. Is a column of smoke that stirs and awakens love as it pleases. He is the rain that clatters against my window at night and keeps me from sleep. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my beautiful one, and come away. Oh, my love, draw me after you. Let us run, for your lips are a scarlet thread. Oh, my love, take me. Let us run away, for your love is the best wine, and my head is filled with the drops of the night. You have captivated my heart with one glance of your eye and one slip of your tongue. How much better your love is than any wine, or your skin than any perfume. Your words drip like nectar, and milk and honey flow freely from your mouth. His right hand is under my head. His left hand embraces me. I let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, and his fruit was sweet to my taste.
I'd say he's a lucky fella. Next up we have Charles Clark.
Those epigrams from a collection which I've only recently found and didn't know about, edited by Morris Reardon, who was a court poet, known in London. And the first one is only three lines, particularly appropriate. They don't have any titles in their original. Such a lovely day, I paused and let the sun's ray illumine my face, my page. Such a lovely day, I pause to let the sun's rays illumine my page. 19th century, translated by Horace Reardon, and a very well known, much anthologized, usually entitled The King of Connacht by Frank O'Connor, also of Cork. Have you seen Hugh, the Connacht king, in the field? All that we saw was his shadow under his shield. And the famous American Celticist, John B. Kelleher, gives us something else, if I can find it now. Slight difficulty in finding it, but I'll get to the account. I'll see if we're able to find it. Oh yes, I have. This is, again, who quip nagging youth read his way through half the truth? He let the other half lie while he gave women a try. Well for him in old age, he became a holy sage. He gave women a laugh, he read the other half.
Always a treasure.
And now we have Seamus
Harrington.
Thanks, Rosie. A few weeks ago, we had a speaker at the Cork Literary and Scientific Society, and she had explored some of the coldest places on Earth. Northeast Siberia, forget the name, but was kids walking to school at minus 50, but at minus 52 they were prevented. And 300 hardy souls lived there apparently, but at the questions after, I asked her if she happened to go through Rovaniemi. She said she sure did, that's where they turned east. It's since been discovered by Santa Claus. It's where you go for a weekend if you want to meet Santa. But back in 1972, it was a very fine summer, and reindeer were dying of the heat. They ran out of beer and ice cream up in Alaska. And so they dug this out as a result. And it won a first prize online. It's published online. Rovaniemi, 72. 66 degrees 30 north, 25 degrees 44 east. Oversized, customized, slouched down street cars, transnational plates, lumberjack the lads, low profile alloys, hard men, soft tops, flatbed pickups, big bore chrome pipes, flat black back, check it out, baby. Sonorous Harleys parade down the avenue past good time seekers and onerous logs rafted up across a silver river. Supercharged growlers, wide wheel arch dragster wannabes. Bystanders giggle at new wealth, old sport, copious tongues, just one body language. Newsflash, reindeer parched, Alaskan ice cream in short supply. Gazers and gazebos, backpack hikers, I heard it through the grapevine, lone prospectors, window shopper ladies, long haul tourists, Norway vote no, crawl around the Motown one more time, lap it all up, come on, let's party, sundown is not for 2 months yet. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Seamus, I don't know if I should tell you this, Seamus, but Santa isn't actually real.
Santa?
No.
He still goes to Rome.
He's not real, Seamus. It's an imposter out there, and wherever that place was.
He still goes there.
It's very sad, but true.
Liar!
Next up, we have Philip Spillane.
Go on.
everyone. As you get to know me, I'm a very self-conscious guy. And so I wrote a story, short story. I want you to read the first two abstracts. And if you want to read the rest of it, you can go online and do check it out. So in the first two abstracts, and it's written kind of letter format between two very good friends. Dear forgiveness, I saw a swan today. She was perfect, as if she was an origami figure. Her snowy white, puffy array of feathers caught my eye. She bragged my neck was too short and too stiff and too rigid, and so I was deformed. She also told me ducks were cursed ducklings and were never allowed to become swans. Forgive me, forgive, but I thought this was a tad bit racist. And she said I was racist for stating she was racist, and so I blurted out sorry so many times. What's your opinion of this? Hope you're keeping well. How's your daughter? Love, sorry. Lovely day, sorry. I don't have a daughter. I have a son. However, I forgive you. Yes, that was a harsh opinion. No, you weren't racist. There's a lot of differences between a duck and a duckling in knowing the fact the latter ends up being a swan. I would have liked to tell her that a baby duck is also called a duckling. Stop writing such silliness to me. Not many people, all birds, really care of your unnecessaries of life. So be more certain of yourself. Be confident. However, it is nice seeing a personal letter among bills. To be honest, I dislike emails and other digital virtual things. Hope you're enjoying the weather. Your faithful friend, forgive. That's all for now. If you want to see the rest of it, check out my Facebook page. Thank you.
Thank you. The look was great. Now we have Max Creedon.
I've got a train of British as I'm reading it. So this is a companion piece last week, and it's just basically conversations with my Sean O'Shea, who brought in that little bag there, Leonidas, isn't it? That's invoking the names of the gods of Greece. That was a great king, and he defended the pass of Thermopylae against the Persians in 480 BC. And he managed very well. He kept back the Spartans and the Thespians, but they killed him in the end. 5 years of Greek and Latin studies hadn't been deleted by 5 days of radiotherapy. And Grandad, he said, didn't you go to Greece once? He says, I struck for Greece and I cycled through the mainland and I retraced the steps of Ovid and Homer and the island of Zakynthos. I used to call out the sheep farmers over the ancient stone walls. Is this battle site? And they'd say they didn't know what I was on about. He came home wearing a sheepskin waistcoat, a hippie style gilet. He was charmed and he told me he was cool. Cool, did you say? I said, you are, Grandad. Actually, you're groovy in that. And he said, do you know, he said, a cool man from cool down the skull. And he said, isn't that name I was called once before in my life. He could see in his mind the beautiful setting of an old schoolhouse lined with cobalt hydrangeas and topped with scotch pine. His old chestnut mare would swish the tail for the mate flies. And there was always a salty brace of sea air. Nearby was the home of Jerome O'Connor, this great sculptor who travelled to Paris and San Francisco to sculpt for the dignitaries in the New World. He must have been inspired too by the lofty, cavernous beauty of Cowan Dubh. Yesterday he got a medal for service to his parish for 61 years, a Benemerenti medal. Would you know what that is, sir? He says, oh, tis, that means well deserved, he said. And well deserved it was. He'd say, the piggies are gone on holidays to Ballybunnan on the bus. His little gentle letdown to stop disappointing us. And very often, the little feet would pay their pilgrimage to Grandad's piggy house. There was also a little stick house, log cabin, so deluxe, such wooden geometrics, the equation-packed matchbox. You could be Mahrabadangan on Chana Hirachin. As an Arlach the Guri, Tommy Gilliard wrote for the core group, the DA. But now his brave battle is coming to an end. He's chosen a calm surrender. His Egyptian oncologist with the navy suit and the lavender tie would gently solicit questions from him. Are you well, Sean? I am. Any pain? No. Appetite? Fine. Any questions? No, for the very simple reason that you know a lot more about this than I do. So your man was delighted. He said there's a break from the internet zealots for one day at least, with no pump action questions. And for granddad it was, why would you be asking a man like that a question? Sure, isn't he a brilliant student? He wouldn't need anyone to test him. So he's manning his pass now at last in quiet rectitude. And there are memory potholes. He's one indulgence where only the mountains and the books. And he's a stoic man of few words, but some would say a quiet and Spartan man. Chinwe.
Thank you, man. Now we have Maria Gillen.
This was a story written in the 1970s, but it's very applicable to Cork of the 2015s. They have given me my notice. I must pack my bags and go. It's part of this slum clearance and it must be done, I know. But house is like a person, it gets run down and old, and it suffers like the rest of us from years of heat and cold. The talk is now of housing trusts and flats and new estates, and bedrooms and small gardens and subsidies from rates. But I hope them fellas down there in that city hall under that big green dome understand that every house they're pulling down, it is some poor crater's home. It seems like only yesterday my Paddy dear and me, we came to this house from our honeymoon, a trip to Carnalee. And this small house bid us welcome, and we knew that it would be home and that we would always love it, no matter where we'd roam. The front door knocker had a shine on it that would blind your eye, and the windows got a lick of paint each year around July. With paper and a stemper, we always kept it neat. Sure, I used to scrub the front doorstep half roads across the street. We'd a small little backyard too, as neat as it could be, with geraniums and begonias and, of course, the fern from Carnalee. There's a tiny little outhouse down that yard, and it often makes me grin, should this door still have the chisel marks where small Hughie got shut in. Our children grew up around us, 6 fine sturdy sons we had, and this small house bid them welcome and was home to every lad. It lingers in their memories still, though far they went to roam, and though others call it justice, to them it's always home. We didn't have a television then, but sure we never knew the lack. Lots of good company around the fire and a bit of friendly crack. And this small house seemed to listen when a neighbour told a joke, and somehow I'd nearly hear it answer back when I gave the fire a poke. We had a beautiful golden lassie with a lovely bewitching smile, and her light, it was very bright, it shone in so short a while. On the day that she left us, 'twas as if this small house it knew, for with the silent sadness, this house it mourned her too. Soon, Paddy was to follow. Sure, the man above knows best, and I'll be content to lie beside him when it comes my time to rest. But I wish they'd let me stay a while until the master bids me come in my small house bright with memories, and they cause it just a slum.
Great stuff, Maria. Thank you. And then we have Anton Front. Floyd. I can't read my own writing sometimes, truth be told.
Uh, I live out in the country, and between Enchigila and Ballingeary there's a lake, Lochalua, and this poem is called Lochalua, at Lochalua, and it took me by surprise. At Lochalua, you dipped gently your hand into the lake to test the colour of the lapping water. It was the purest blue, an intense ultramarine, as if time had processed the world's store of lapis and had lavished this gift, this mesmerizing pigment, remaking this place as all-encompassing as the Scroveny chapels. Whatever it was, the angle of the sun, the blue vault of sky, the surface tension rippling outwards its mercurial mirrors, I was standing behind and above you, holding your shoulders to keep you from slipping, when it appeared your head radiated such pulses of light, for all the world you more than ever were my own angel seen through Giotto's eyes. Just one more, just to change the mood. It's about my son when he was three. It's called Cornucopia. He was just 3 years old when we'd arranged dinner with visiting friends, third generation vegetarians, so we thought we'd try a new eatery in town. Our babysitter had fallen through, and so it was for us a first, and him to bring him too. Besides, he had recently begun to be amenable to sense, now that the terrible twos were gone. His talk as well had come on past solitary words and signs. Sentences were giving him a form to complete his thoughts, a source of mutual delight, the wonder in his world and ours. The place was a cornucopia, the aroma of multicultural cuisine, an ambience of kilims, low tables and the softest light, a guitarist in the corner solemnizing this most comestible of rites. Whether it was after pistu soup or before the sesame halloumi parcels with sweet potato and tahini mash, it's hard to be exact. But at one point in proceedings, during a sacred hush, our son set up and served as an infant monarch on a throne, announces clearly to the world, "Look, I found a bone."
Thank you very much, Angela. That was great. And we have to also thank Emily and Sue, because I accidentally missed your name on the list. But they pointed it out to me, and I'm glad they did. So next up, we have Ben Kingston. Oh, and Maria, your glasses are up here.
This poem is about Marcus Aurelius. So, for some years, he has reigned divine, as the scent of roses are fine. Now look in retrospect and frown at the need to remove the crown, for all the mortal do eventually fall. We wish he strove for eternity's call. So as the world waits for the final horn, the pious nation sits with faces so forlorn. Jerusalem is as holy as Babylon, with stoic action carry on.
Now we have Rob Elkhart. All right.
Let's get holy. Om Mani Padme, Om Mani Padme, Om Mani Padme, Om. A prayer for Easter. Full moonshine, roots entwine and are pulled, pushing skyward. This Easter full moonshine is rolling around the heavens, resurrection time, closer to the sublime. let us shine. Is Joe Harper around? I have to do one more with you.
Oh, my God,
Joe, I need ya. I'm no Rat Fox, and this is Joe Hart.
Are we still praying?
No, you can stop praying. I took my hood off. The sacred moment is over, like, you know, I uncovered my head. She obviously, she hasn't got any religious etiquette.
Thank God.
On the way to his convocation, stopped at the motorway service station. There we found the mouth of truth, no lies. Put my money in the crack and I got my electronic feedback telling me stuff about my life, no lies. He said, you're a crusty, you are bad, grow up, stop acting like a little lad and turn your cap the right way around, don't tell lies. He said, there ain't no rights without responsibility, so know yourself and your capabilities, act like a model for the youth, don't tell lies. He said, take this message to the convocation, shall we all give a demonstration? Speak out, be a mouth for truth, don't tell lies, don't tell lies, don't tell lies. And that's an Easter message from Joe Harp and Radbox.
Next up, we have Frederic.
Well, this one is was made thinking about a co-worker for an elation, not so much as a Puerto Rico. Called Unconfessed. The name is not real, by the way. Her name is Evelyn, queen with a pale skin, a leather suit so white and tight. It keeps me thinking of that moon I land on every night, and mine in search for a jewel of ecstasy to offer to your majesty.
Great job, Cedric. That was lovely. And now, finally, the last reader, unless anybody else is inspired to jump up at the last minute, is Joel McNulty.
I read last week for the first time, so I was hoping this week it might be a bit easier, but it's fucking not. And this is from a collection of poems called Dear Government, and this is called Flawed Philosophy. Dear government, is your delusion an illusion? Have I lost my mind? Or have you pulled a masterstroke by making the people blind? Are all of my concerns falling off deaf ears? Or is all this conformity a consequence of fear? We used to fight imperialists, they were men from foreign lands. Now we're oppressed by capitalists, and they've got Irish hands. Money creates scarcity in a land of abundance. You promised us equality, and then you went and shunned us. You act with such sincerity, yet there's no transparency. You call this democracy? More like a flawed philosophy. That's it.